To be back, isn't it?
Amen.
Would you stand with me for just a minute? Would you bow your heads, please? And while I pray, would you ask the Lord to give us strength to speak to our hearts from His Word and help us? Our Father, we thank You so much for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He demonstrated His love when He left glory. Where the Father was, He was beside the Father. He came down to this earth, died a cruel death, was buried and resurrected the third day, sitting now at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. We thank You for that, Lord, that truth. And then, Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come together again. Lord, I ask You to help us. I pray, my Father, You'll touch my heart. Lord, You'll touch my mind. You'll bless with power. I pray for Holy Ghost power upon this congregation tonight for God's honor and God's glory. Lord, we know that the Word of God, when it's broken, is the bread of life. And I ask You, Lord, to bless Your Word tonight. May we go away different than we come. And I'll thank You for it and give You praise and glory and honor. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I had a song to sing tonight. I wanted to sing, but nobody knows it. So, and when I looked at it, I wondered if I even knew it. So, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The song was "Faith is the Victory." And the brother deacon there said he had never heard of it. So, when I looked at it, it had been a long time since I've sung that song. So I'm not going to try to give you anything on that song. My subject tonight is pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. Look at Hebrews 6 or chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrews 11. Verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, that's a negative statement. Without it, we can't please the Lord. So that means positively that we can please the Lord with faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, if you will, hold your place there. Now, I've got these verses written down. Let me read you Proverbs 16, verse number 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7. And then here's something Jesus said that John recorded in John 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Two things right there. When we please the Lord, even God gives us peace with those that hate us, those that would kill us, those that would say, why don't you just leave and never come back? God will give us peace with our enemies when we please Him. And then our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. He done everything to please the Lord. He said, for I do always those things that please Him. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, we cannot please God without faith. Now, would you go back with me there and start with verse number 1. Let me read these verses to you. And this is a description of faith. If I'm going to please the Lord with faith, I need to know a little bit about faith. And this passage tells us about faith. It gives us the description of faith and examples of faith. Did you know there's 24 times in Hebrews chapter 11 that the word faith is used? I had a number written down somewhere, how many examples in this chapter. If you want to know about faith and what it looks like in people's lives, and in those Old Testament saints, and even in the New Testament saints, you study Hebrews chapter 11. But here's a description of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 1 gives us the meaning of faith. Look at verse 1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like Ryrie's commentary on that verse. The King James Bible, those words, you really have to think about them and study it. Ryrie gives a definition of faith like this. Faith gives reality and proof of things unseen, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than hope. So faith is, if we've got faith in something, that's evidence that's the proof that we've got faith in things unseen. Now, I got a little tangled up there. Faith gives reality and proof to things that are not seen. Then verse number 2, the reward of faith. Look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The reward of faith is God's approval. Verse number 2. Then verse number 3, the basic understanding of faith. God made the world. Did you know the first thing that a person must realize and must accept is that God is the creator? Then he can understand that he's also the Savior. And then we find in verse number 4 and 5 the spiritual power of faith. Look at verse 4 with me. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5 says, Enoch, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation He had this testimony that he pleased God. So here we have the spiritual power of faith. Abel had the power to be counted righteous. He was counted righteous by faith. Enoch, he had the power to walk with God. We walk by faith, and I'll show you that in just a minute. Then I want you to note that not only was Enoch did he have power to walk by faith, but he had faith that delivered him from death. How you like that? Everybody's looking for the rapture, ain't they? I hope he comes before I have to go the other way, don't you? But I might miss something. Jesus said he'd take the sting of death away. Sin. The sting of death is sin. And thanks be to God, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Enoch was walking one day with God, and he pleased God so well that God said, "Hey, Enoch, come on up here, buddy. Amen. I want you to walk on streets of gold for a while." And so everybody got looking for Enoch, and he wasn't there anymore. Then I want you to note verse number 6 again, and we'll get to the message here in just a minute. The necessary beliefs of faith. Two things in that verse. You must believe that God exists. Number two, you must believe that God rewards the diligent seeker. There's a little lesson on faith. Now go back to chapter 10 with me. There's three, listen, we can please the Lord by faith. There's at least, I said three, there's four. There's four exhortations in chapter 10 that we're encouraged to exercise our faith at in chapter 10. And beginning, let me find my place here. I'll probably get all mixed up, all my notes here. Beginning with verse 19 in chapter 10. Before we look at that, look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. Go down to verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our what? Faith. Go down to verse 38. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. There's at least four exhortations here. Verse 19 through verse 39. We're going to look at one of them. Pick up with me in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is telling us it's actually got the temple in view. And in the Holy of Holies is where the high priest would go to offer blood sacrifice. He'd done it one time a year. It's the only time he'd ever do it is one time a year. And it would cover their sins for a year. Well, that was done away with when Jesus was crucified. Amen. If you study the Gospels, you'll learn that the veil was ripped from top to bottom. That was a wall in between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now Jesus tore that wall down, but for us Christians, we can go right into the Holy of Holies because of our relationship to Him. We're His children. Now, Lord, help those that go to an earthly priest. That was done away with. The law was done away with in the sense that Jesus fulfilled the law. And the places that I have trouble fulfilling the law, Jesus fulfilled that for us. Now we can go right into the Holy of Holies. Now listen to that verse again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He have consecrated for us through the veil. There's that veil I was talking about. That is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. By faith, folks, if we're living by faith, we are to approach the throne of God. The way is already open. This passage I just read to you gives us how we are to approach His throne. And then I'm going to give you why. Why we need to approach His throne. First, let me give you this. Why or how we should approach His throne. Look at verse 19. He says this in verse 19. Having therefore brethren. You know who the brethren is? That's the saved. Paul used that term quite a bit when he talked about the brethren, the saved. And I'd say to me and you tonight that we can approach His throne if we're brethren, if we're saved. How do we come to His throne? As children of God, as brethren together, brothers and sisters. I would check up and make sure I know the Lord as my Savior. The Bible warns against that. Anyway, he says, brethren, here's something else. Verse 19, with boldness. Notice what it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, sin makes us ashamed, don't it? It'll divide friends, it'll divide families, it'll divide everything. But I'll tell you what, when you become a brother and when you're saved, Jesus takes care of that sin. And all our sin, past, present, and future, He died for that. And He gave Himself for all my sin. That's not to say we don't come to the throne of God with shame. We ought to be ashamed the way we live sometime. But he says, come boldly. How can I come boldly? I can come boldly knowing that He's my Savior and that my sin's been taken care of and that He wants me to come by faith. So we come boldly. Then in verse 19, by the blood of Jesus. A lot of folks say they believe and they trust, but they've never been washed in the blood. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? It washes, and I just said this, washes away all our sin. All our sin. Something else, look at verse 20. By a new and living way. By a new and living way which He have consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. Sometimes study the suffering that Jesus suffered in the flesh. It'll make you bow your head. It'll cause shame to think that man, the very ones that Jesus come to die for, treated him the way that he was treated. Did you know that some of us would have probably done the same thing, being lost? He gave his body to the smiters. He made a way that we can come to the throne of God through his flesh. It's amazing that God would leave, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, that would leave his place, and knowing what he was going to face when he come down. But you know what? He kept on going, and he kept going, and he kept going till he fulfilled the Father's will. And he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I was listening to a preacher not too long ago on the radio, and he was describing scourging. Anybody ever studied that? Scourging? Nobody? Do you know what the Roman soldier would do with a scourge? That was a whip. He'd wrap that handle around his hand there. He had a harness to hold it on his hand, and it had nine cats of nine tails, we call it. At the end of those leather strips, they would put bone and stone and whatever they could find on the end of those tentacles of that whip. They'd take that malefactor. You know, Pilate had him scourged to try to please the people. They'd take that malefactor and they'd bend him over a pedestal, right in his going in his belly like this, and tie his feet and hands to that bottom of that post. And I believe it was 39 lashes. That Roman soldier would come across with that whip, and it'd wrap around that rib cage and everything, and when he'd pull it back, it would pull the flesh off his body. You say that's gory. It is. It really is. It's hard to believe it. It really is. They say sometime that men would die just from being scourged. They said Jesus' organs could have even been exposed. He was whipped so bad with that cat of nine tails. They ripped the beard from his face. They spit on him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. He kept going. He's made a way through his flesh. That's the new and living way. He gives life. He gave himself for that, which he have consecrated for us, it says in verse 20, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we come the new and living way. And then I want you to note in verse 21, here's how we come another way, knowing we have a high priest over the house of God. Knowing we have a high priest. If he's experienced everything that we would experience, and he's been tempted in every area that I've been tempted in, yet without sin, he's a great high priest. Amen. And he loves me and he loves you. So we come knowing we have a great high priest. Verse 21, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. I pray often, Lord, would you make a difference in my heart? You know, we need to guard our heart. Make sure that our heart's not full of worldliness. Believe me, there's enough around to steal your heart away. And if we're not set like a flint. If we're not pleasing God with our faith in coming to Him, I'm telling you what, our heart will go astray. But we know from this that we're to have a true heart. Lord, I done that. I'm ashamed of that. I done that, Lord. Lord, I'll tell you what, I've been bitter. I've been bitter for a long time. My heart's hurting. You know what? I was done wrong about 20 years ago. And sometime that'll come up in my mind. I got to say, Lord, if I've got a true heart, I got to say, Lord, that I can't handle that. I don't want to be bitter to you. I don't want to be ugly. Bitterness is like a cancer. You done me wrong. And sometimes I'll just pray out, I'll call the person's name, and I'll say, I forgive you. The devil hears that, and he'll flee. Not all the time, but lots of times he will. We come to the throne of God with a true heart. Lord, I'm not what I want to be. I'm a hypocrite in some places. Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite in that place. Help me to be what I need to be. Is your heart true? When you come to prayer, when you come to the throne of God, by faith we come to His throne, and by faith we need to come with a true heart, He says here. Oh, I like this. Look at verse 22, the middle part of that verse. In full assurance of faith. There it is. We please God when we come, and we'll get our prayers answered too. When we come with a true heart, and when we come by faith, we please the Lord. Verse 22, with a clear conscience, he says, let's read that verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's some things that Christians ought not to be involved in. The Bible says a lot about fornication. I would say to the young people tonight, you stay at home. You listen to mom and dad that are teaching you. You learn how to obey the Bible, God's word. Ask God for His power. Don't hang around. My grandmother says, if you hang around with dogs, you'll come up with fleas. I know it's not politically correct today to call sin sin. But for a Christian, I'm not trying to cause a fight with anybody. I want to win them to the Lord if I can. But I think we got away from something that's vital. We don't call sin sin anymore. At least our society doesn't. A true heart, a clear conscience, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies clean. We need to keep our bodies clean, not be guilty of using them and destroying our bodies. I think there's something in Corinthians about that, isn't there? If we destroy our bodies, God will destroy us. There's a lot of loose stuff going on today. There's a lot of stuff going on today that Christians ought not to be participating in and saying amen to. Amen. Exercise faith. Come to the throne of God. Come clean. Verse 23 says, with unwavering faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then in verse 23, it says, believe in God, for he is faithful that promised. So here we have it. We please God by coming to his throne. We please God by coming the way that he says for us to come here. Then I want to show you something else here. Why? Why we come? Go over to Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Well, last time I checked, it was in my Bible. Why should we come to the throne? Look at Colossians 3, verse 1 through verse 4, right quick. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you're saved, you're dead to this world. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We're talking about pleasing God by faith, and we're talking about approaching God's throne, and this tells us why. Why we come to the throne of God. In verse number 1, here's a good reason why we come. We've got a heavenly helper. Look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We studied the resurrection this morning. Jesus resurrected and he went back to sit down at the right hand of God. This world don't treat us too well, but we've got a heavenly helper. We get tired and weary, wore out sometime. We've got a heavenly helper. We can't see too much in this world that helps us spiritually, because we're in alien country. Once you get saved, you're on the side that the enemy hates. It's amazing to me how some folks, after you've been a Christian a while, they used to be your friend and then they become your enemy. But I got a heavenly helper. How strong is he? How capable is our heavenly helper? It don't matter what man thinks. It don't matter what goes on down here. We can get over that. He promised that. But in the lonely hours of the night, I want you to know we can come to the throne of God, and God says, you please me when you come to my throne, and we find there a heavenly helper. Is there anything Jesus ain't never overcome? Not one. You say, well, they killed him. That's right. He fulfilled God's will so he could pay for my sin and your sin, and I could be saved and you could be saved, and bless your heart. He's there now at the right hand of God, and he's a heavenly helper. Remember when the walls of Jericho fell? You know who done that? Was that Joshua knew that was obedient Joshua. He pleased God. And they marched around the walls 7 times and the walls just fell. I read it the other day. I read the whole book of Joshua. It fell flat to the ground. Why? Because Joshua pleased the Lord. That's what we want to do. And here's a reason why. We've got a heavenly helper. Sometime, me and my wife's been together a long time, longer than I ever thought we would, but we made it. By the grace of God. You know what? We started understanding one another a little bit more, a little bit better. Ain't that right, honey? You better shake your head right now. I'm doing better, ain't I? There's nobody like Jesus. He's right there. He's my high priest. I want you to know he's my helper, my heavenly helper. Something else in this verse 2 says, we got a storehouse of better things. We not only have a heavenly helper, but we've got a storehouse of better things. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. You get a question a lot of times, will we have bodies in heaven? Y'all ever heard that question? Some people say, how will it be in heaven? You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14? Where I am, there you may be also. Does it really matter if we have bodies or not? I often said this, and in the millennial, back when I was raising support to go to Alaska, I'd say, God's going to make me governor of Alaska. In a millennial. I was just a dreamer. Do you know there's things in that throne that we can experience that God will give us that we don't have here? Set your affections. I got where I don't even want to watch the news anymore. I don't care who wins the election. God's in control. Amen. And if it's time for the Antichrist to set up his kingdom, so be it. That means that we can say to the Antichrist, ha, 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 Jesus is coming and we're out of here. You say, I don't believe that. I had a guy the other day tell me, I don't know about all that. I don't know. He wasn't too excited about the Lord coming. All he was worried about what's going on. I'm going to tell you what, God's still in control. And if I need peace, you know, these things, these affections, these things that I can get at his throne. He's the heavenly helper, but he's got stuff I need. Boy, when I get upset and lose my peace, I need peace. The high priest will do that. He'll give you peace when there is no peace. David said, I lay me down in peace. Think about it, folks. We have a storehouse of better things, better than anything in this world. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And I hope you feel the same way. We're talking about why we exercise faith at the throne of God. Number one, we have a heavenly helper. Number two, there's a storehouse of better things. Verse 3 teaches us something else in this passage. Look at verse 3. For you're dead, listen to this, and your life is hid with Christ in God. A secure keeper. Hold your place. You can go over to John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Boy, you read the Psalms, and I'm trying to think which psalm it is, and he put us together in our mother's womb. I'd like to read that to you. If I knew how to find it, I probably would. He knows us better than we know ourselves. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm here to tell you, folks, we've got a secure keeper. He's going to be with us to the end. He's going to keep us to the end. He's going to help us grow. He's going to help us, and one day he's going to take us to heaven. Amen. I'm looking for him to come. Amen. That takes me to verse number 4. Look at verse number 4 with me. We've got a bright future. See verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's talking about the rapture. But I'll tell you what, if I go by way of death before the rapture, I can be assured of this: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm not worried about that. When it comes time to go, God will give me grace. He'll give you the grace too. So we've got a bright future. Why would anybody not want to serve the Lord? Why would take a chance and say, well, I don't know what's in eternity. I'll just take my chances. Boy, I've heard that on how many times. I'm not going to die now. I've got plenty of time. Why take a chance? The Bible's clear on that. There's a heaven, there's a hell. It teaches about hell that it's a broad path. You know what? You know what's on the road to hell? Thousands of religions. Thousands of ways to God. There's only one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 4 tells us we got a bright future. We're to come to the throne of God, and we're to come boldly through faith, and we're to accept that regardless of what the devil says or what happens in this life, one day we're going to be in heaven. That's a promise. I often wondered if the Crystal Sea has largemouth bass in it. You say, that's silly. I don't think it is. And I'll tell you what. Now get a load of this. Lord, if you study Revelation 19, he's coming back on white horses. Now, there might be dogs in heaven, but there ain't going to be no cats. I heard a preacher say that one time. I wouldn't have a funeral service for little Buddy. But I might say, Buddy, I sure miss you. I know my wife would. Oh, what a bright future! One day we'll see the face of God. Verse 4 says we have an earthly companion. Look at that verse again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear also with him in glory. We not just have a bright future and a secure keeper. Folks, we've got an earthly companion, and that's Christ. He walks with us, and He talks with us, and He fellowships with us. When's the last time you had good fellowship with the Lord? Boy, I miss that when the Lord don't show up. I get things in my life and in my heart that don't need to be there. And I'll say, Lord, where are you? Did you know God chastens? He chastens His children. There's Siamese twins in the Bible. Do you know that? Eternal security and chastisement. We can be as good as we want to, but you know, there's not a person in this building today that doesn't have some kind of besetting sin. Mine's anger, bitterness. I have to deal with it all the time. No, you can't slap him. No, you can't run away. Just deal with it. Verse 4 says we have an eternal, glorious, abiding place. I don't know about you, but I'm not sorry I'm serving the Lord. I want to please the Lord. Come to His throne often. Hope you have a daily prayer time. Hope you have a daily Bible reading. Hope you want to find the Lord every day and say, Lord, my heart needs to be touched today. Would you stand with us, please? You can please God by faith. There's a song that says, faith is the victory. It's a beautiful song. I wish we could sing it. Would you bow your heads, please? And maybe the Lord's dealt with you, somebody in here. You never know in a congregation somebody, Lord might speak to them and they realize they're not saved. If you're not saved tonight, would you come?